11 minutes after 5 South African time. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, Yom Al-Khamis, the 9th of Safar, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad early this morning. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum arafat, jazakallahu khairan. To our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussain, Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 8th of Safar 1443, and we continue with the tafsir and commentary of the noble Quran. Our starting point is chapter 16, Surah Nahl, the B, and verses number 113 and 114. Yesterday, before I start with this, last night, when I returned from Darul Zakaria, then I received a message from a 90-year-old person who's an avid listener, mashallah, but is blind. He says, please, before you start your program, mention the time so that he knows exactly what time to perform Salat. So the time now, Baji, is around 5:13 in the morning. Okay, so let's go on with our lesson, chapter 16, Surah Nahl, verse 113-114. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْهُمْ. The waw atifa in conjunction. لَقَدْ, the lam for an oath. وَلِلَّهِ, and قَدْ, certainly, definitely. So Almighty Allah is saying, and by Almighty Allah, definitely, surely, positively, جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a prophet, a messenger came to them from them. And who is the prophet messenger? Nabi Muhammad Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the last and the final messenger of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. And his message was global, is international, for all times, all places. Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a, I am the messenger of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala for all of you. Walakin Rasulullahi wa Khatam al-Nabiyyin, he is the last and the final messenger for all times, all places, all circumstances. But what did the people do? Those people in Makkah, the polytheists, the idol worshippers, like today, 6 billion plus people, فَكَذَّبُوهُ, hence they rejected him, they rejected the message and the messenger. Rejecting the message is the noble Quran, Sunnah Mubarakah. Quran, the direct speech of Almighty Allah, the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of the Master, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to reject the messenger, to reject Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So action and reaction, cause and effect. فَأَخَذَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ, so the fire is fire taqib. As a consequence of that, as a result of that, the punishment overtook them. And what was the punishment? The punishment was during the battle of Badr. I give you one incident. It was on a Friday, 17th of Ramadan, the second year after Hijrah. Abu Jahl and his people, 70 of them in total, they sped straight to Jahannam and the hellfire. 70 taken captive. Abu Lahab was in Makkah. And when he heard about all this, he was totally devastated. And after a few weeks, few months, he also died because they could not believe, how can we, a superpower, be defeated by these 313 people? Does this not resonate with you regarding today what you saw with your own eyes, how the Taliban took on 48 countries, defeated them, humiliated them, and they had to run with their tails between their legs? فَأَخَذَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ, and the punishment overtook them. So that is Allah. Almighty Allah gives honor to whoever He wishes. He disgraces whoever He wishes. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, that He gives izzat, honor to who He wishes. He disgraces whoever He wishes. So He, Almighty Allah's punishment overtook them, divine punishment. وَهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ, whilst they were the tyrants, whilst they were the oppressors, whilst they were the people who were oppressing and transgressing the laws of others, of Almighty Allah, and violating the laws of Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah is giving us a divine prescription which majority of us, remember, have neglected and abandoned Allah forbid. Fakulu, hence you must consume. So if you want victory, if you want honor, then this is one of the golden and divine recipes, prescriptions and prophetic prescriptions. Fakulu mimma razaqakumullahu halalan tayyiba, hence consume that from which Almighty Allah has given you and conferred upon you. And what is that? Halalan, it's lawful. And tayyiba, pure and wholesome. No contamination. And remember, no doubt in it. Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressed his beloved grandson, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu, an authentic hadith, and saying in Tirmidhi Sharif, da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk, leave that which puts you and places you in doubt, and opt for that in which there's no doubt, that is tayyiba. Now today these halal logos and that, can we really say the halal and tayyiba? Wallahi, never can we say that. It's all a big money making gimmick, remember that. And it is just to, you know, fool people and so forth many a time. So halal and tayyiba. Washkuru, and remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu and said, O Sa'd, make sure you eat and consume halal and tayyiba. Then you will be mustajabu da'wat. Your du'as and supplications will be accepted. Today we cry, we beg, we petition Allah, but the du'as are not accepted. How is our income? Look at our input and our output. What do we consume? Anything we just eat. We say, yeah, this one said halal, that one. We the one who try and look for every loophole to justify our actions, Allah forbid. So therefore the du'as get rejected and our supplications get rejected. Washkuru ni'matullah, be grateful, thankful to the bounties of Almighty Allah that are ever recurring, showering upon us. So in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun, if you worshipping Him alone, worshipping Almighty Allah alone. So O Muslim, O Muslimah, daily read 2 rakat salatu shukr, tahajjud time, O ishraq time, or salatu duha charge time, or after Zohar, or after Maghrib, after Isha. So any time in the 24 hours that I mentioned, read the 2 rakats. Allahumma laka shukru kullu, wa laka alhamdu kullu. Ya Allah, all praise is for you alone. All thanks, gratitude for you alone. Insha'Allah al-Aziz, today, between 11 and 12, Mona Zahid Khan and myself will be discussing a fascinating topic. It will be on Sirius FM and Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, live, inshallah al-Aziz, between 11 and 12, and that is Tasawwuf, Sufism, that what does it really mean to become a true pious person and so forth. And tonight is the night of Jumu'ah, Friday. Abundant durood sharif, salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan. Allah Jalla wa'ala grant us tawfiq.
Somebody says, Ya Ustad, I made a huge mistake, Mufti Saab. I sent the wrong guy to jail 8 years ago. Now I realize that it was the guy's brother who was the guilty one. How do I fix this, Ustad?
Remember that you have to go to him and apologize to him and whatever reparations, all that you owe him, because there was loss of income, maybe he lost his wife, his children. So in whichever way you can make things good, you have to apologize, give him the money and so forth and so on. And because of your testimony or evidence, or you are the magistrate and judge, so remember that therefore we need to be absolutely sure, and not just based on speculation. You know, in the good old days 50 years ago when we were in school or we were very young, so in cases like that, remember that what they used to tell us, that you must be sober like a judge. But today, how many judges are sober? That's another question. So remember that therefore, whatever you can do, you must do, because tomorrow is Yawm al-Hisab, the day of justice, the day of judgment. So settle everything with him today before death comes and before the day of reckoning approaches.
There's a brother here by the name of Jay. Brother Jay, he says here, you know, I am not a Muslim, but I want to build a mosque for the people in a village in India. Can I do this, Ustad? Sir.
My brother Jay, I know you are not a Muslim. Muslim means the one who submits and surrenders himself to Almighty Allah, to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he embraces Islam from the bottom of his heart. So you want to build a mosque in some village and so forth. From a technical point of view and so forth, is it permissible? Yes, it is permissible. If you look at the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, that is where we face. We don't worship it, we worship Almighty Allah, but we face in that direction to bring about unity, uniformity. So the Kaaba Musharrafa was also built by non-Muslims, the Quraysh, and they were mushrikeen, idol worshippers, and therefore they did not have enough halal money. So therefore we have the Hatim, and that is the semicircle. So that is from the verdict point of view. But will I advise it? The place you want to now put up, you must remember, a mosque and so forth. If they ask me, I'll say no. They must not accept your money. You must remember that. So why will I say that? Because we Muslims will never take money from non-Muslim. Kain and Mankan, whoever it is, whether it's a Jew, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, whoever. We have our own resources, remember that. If you want to do something good, my brother Jay, and in that village of yours there in India, you come from, you understand, Gujarat or wherever, so you must remember, my advice to you will be, instead of building a mosque, rather say that you will give money for a borehole, or you will give money, you understand, for something which everybody can use, whether it's Muslim, whether it's Hindu, whether it's some other faith and so forth. So in that way there, then you will get the reward in this world and everybody will be able to use it. The mosque, only Muslims will use it. So rather it's in your interest also, and the Muslims' interest also, because we will say it is against our ethics, and we are not that low that we're going to accept money from non-Muslims, remember that. So therefore we are the ones that is documented. We have never put a mosque up for sale, and you will see churches, temples, synagogues all up for sale, because you must remember, we will rather sell our own house, but we don't sell the house of God Almighty. So that is my response to you, my brother Jay. Do something good, very good, and you've put up a borehole well in that part of the village and so forth. May God guide you and bless you, Ameen, to your natural home, which is Islam.
I see, Mr. Jay says, Mr. AK, you are my brother, Ustad. Brother
100%, you are my brother in humanity, and therefore I'm giving you advice from my brother, from my bottom of my heart, my brother.
I see Brother Anil. He says, good morning, sir. I am also a Hindu and I like your show. I play the azan loud from my hi-fi on my roof speakers. Whenever the time for your prayer comes in, we have an informal camp near us and there are lots of Muslims living there. Sir, many of my neighbors' homes were broken into, but nobody touches my things even when I leave it outside. Is this the power from the azan? Anil, Ustad.
Anil, 100%, you must remember your intention is so good. You want to remind the Muslims that they must go and pray, and you're reminding humanity itself that, remember, Islam is the only religion of salvation, and Almighty Allah, the one and only Supreme Being, is showing you that so many problems took place in South Africa and so forth. We know that so much crime, corruption, theft, all that takes place. Only Almighty Allah can protect us. We remind one another. Keep on reading chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 64. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And He, Almighty Allah, alone is the best protector. And He, Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, is the most merciful one to show mercy. My brother Anil, story time.
Mm-hmm.
What you are doing, it's something that happened very similar in the past. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came. It was, remember, in the 8th year of the Hijrah and 8th year after migration. So 7th year, 8th year around there, whatever it is. So this is the story. Now the messenger of Islam, Sahaba, the students, companions, were about to return to Medina Munawwara. And the route just outside Makkah in Jirana, 30 kilos, you know. So there, they were reading Salat. So they were praying Namaz, prayer. So one person, the Muslim, he rendered the Adhan. He called to prayer. Then they heard a sound from nearby that somebody imitating the sound. The Adhan is going, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then they hear another Allahu Akbar from that territory in that area there. So they sent somebody, and it was children playing, you know. You know, children, when the police come or some authorities come, then who was doing all this? Now they know, they'll all point towards one. So they pointed to Abu Mahzura. So they brought Abu Mahzura, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The messenger asked him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were the one? So now he knows he's guilty. He says, yes, okay. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Islam, placed his hand, Mubarak, blessed hand, on his head, the head of this youngster Abu Mahzura, who's as yet not Muslim. And repeat after me, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So all the words. And then Iman, Islam, entered the inner recesses of his heart. So I want to teach you, esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, who are the four Mu'adhin, the callers of prayer during the time of the Master alayhi salam. One, Sayyidina Bilal al-Habashi, the African Muaddin, the most famous. Number two, Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum, Abasa wa Tawalla, Ja'ul Ahmad, the blind companion and Sahabi and student of the Master, peace be upon him. Majid al-Quba, Sa'ad al-Quraz, radiallahu anh. Who's the fourth one? In Makkah Mukarramah, my brother Anil, remember, was this youngster who was imitating, not Muslim. And so the honor the Prophet gave him, peace be upon him, rahmatulil alameen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Aba Mahzura, you go and become the Imam al-Mu'adhin of the Kaaba Musharrafa Masjidul Haram, the most sacred place for us Muslims on this earth. Why? Because he was imitating the Adhan. And then he embraced Islam. And right till his demise, he remained the Mu'adhin. So we make dua, we supplicate to Almighty Allah, you are playing the Adhan, but now you have to respond to the Adhan as well. And how will you respond, my brother Anil, that you come back to your natural home, and that is Islam.
Somebody says, your Ustad, that I attended a mayit yesterday. At the mayit, immediately after burial, Adhan was called out and Dhuhr Salah was performed right there. Is this correct, Ustaz?
Remember, our Deenul Islam is Fattabi'uni, follow me, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yuhbibkumullah, then you become the beloved of Almighty Allah, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. So chapter 3 verse 31. Now you find some people that when they're going to bury a person and so forth, now they give adhan. This definitely is not permissible. This is something we are bringing in the Sharia, innovating and so forth. They say, no, when we're going to bury this person, now is the time of questions. He must not be disturbed by the shaitan and so forth and so on. So this is now our own ideas, our own theory and concept. We go to toilet and all that. So what? They also, they shaitan. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't teach us we must give adhan that time. The Master alayhi salatu salam taught us, before you enter the toilet, bathroom and so forth, you know today is all attached business in many cases, read Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is, or Bismillahi Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is, the hadith in Ibn Majah. So ya Allah, I seek your protection from the male and female shaitans. Now when we bury our brother, sister, what did Nabi alayhi salam said? Allahumma thabbitu in the su'al. Ya Allah, you let keep his heart, keep him steadfast, that he answers correctly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't teach us we must give adhan. So therefore, according to all four schools, definitely not permissible.
I see I've got your brother Denzel. He says, good morning, sir. I was told by my brother to give you a message. Am I sinful for protecting my dog? My dog was almost stolen last night and I shot a guy dead. Will I go to hell for this? Denzel.
My brother Denzel, regarding dogs, you need to know the three issues which Islam teaches us. Number one, if you have a dog and the dog is for security purposes, guarding your home, guarding your property, totally permissible. If you have a dog for hunting purposes, so that also totally permissible, acceptable. If a person has a dog just as a pet, so that is not permissible in Islam. So that's the first thing you need to understand. Second point, my brother Denzel, you need to understand that now you were now sleeping, or you heard some noises while you were awake and somebody wanted to steal your dog or poison your dog or whatever, God forbid. So you took out your AK-47, you took out your revolver, and then you shot him dead. Now, was that right, my brother? Obviously, it's not right. You went to another limit now. Now, the family of that person will come and they will charge you for what? Attempted homicide or attempted assault and assault and everything. You must just get a sharpshoot lawyer. So that person was wrong that he came to steal your dog or what have you. Now you should have given a warning shot, or you should have shot in the air or something like that. Now you shot him dead. So now what happens? You went to another extreme. So Islamically, what you did to defend yourself, to defend your family, is correct. But the method you chose to shoot him dead, and by your own admission, it seems you wanted to shoot him dead, so that is not acceptable. We can't take the law in our own hands. And remember, we say, no, he wanted to steal. Yes, we must defend ourselves, but you could give a warning shot or something, not go and aim for the guy, and you're a sharp shooter, you put the bullet right through his heart. So I mean, that is unacceptable, my brother.
I see brother Walter says, and what happens in this situation with the Israelis or with the Taliban? They don't give no warning. They just kill each other. Ustad, Walter.
So you must remember that as far as the Israelis go, for the past 70 years and more, they are stealing, terrorizing, massacring the Palestinians. And all this is well documented. Walter, I don't know if you did any serious study. Go and study before 1948, before the apartheid rogue regime of Israel came into existence. There was the Stern Gang. There was the Haganah Sena gang. Just go read about them, how many massacres they carried out and so forth. They are the super terrorists. And see, even now, the six people, brothers of ours, escaped. Four, they rearrested. See what they're doing now with Zakaria, Zubaydi, and all of them. You must remember that they are torturing them. So where's America? Where's Europe? Where's NATO? Where's the human rights? Where's the amnesty? So because they are Jews, because they are whiteys, so there are some different laws. If Taliban or Muslims had to do that, every media in the world should be making a big noise. What an outrage it should be. But because it is Jutlas, Jews doing that, no, it's fine. So that is what we complain about. As far as Taliban goes, you are wrong, my brother. We don't say Taliban got 100 mistakes. We don't agree of everything. But what they did was a spectacular victory. And what they did, they gave, you must remember, amnesty to everybody. Even today they are saying, any Afghan who ran away and went away to America, Canada, Europe, come back and no question asked, we give you pardon. Was not that not a magnanimous gesture? And you say Taliban don't ask questions, they shoot. When you come to my country, you murder 200,000 people and more, quarter million, and we're in a war situation, you steal everything of mine. So what you expect me to you? So that's what we say. One settler, one bullet. That is what Islam says, my brother Walter. And for that, we'll never apologize.
Walter says, thank you so much. He says he's got a picture of yours, Ustad. You look like Moses.
Did you see Moses?
Ustad, Mr. Bishop says that life and death is in God's hands, right, Mr. Ike? My company is forcing me to take the jab. I ask them why I must take medication when I'm not sick. Do they have the right to force me? Mr. Bishop Ustad.
Remember that in South Africa, it is not mandatory. And you know all the unions, that they are making a big noise on all these type of things, that no company has the right to impose upon their employees and so forth. So you can go to court. You can advise him, Mr. Bishop, that they can go to court. They can go to their unions. They can get sharpshoot lawyers, all that. Because in South Africa, up to this day, remember that it is not mandatory. So how can you as a company go and impose it upon your people and so forth and so on? So that is the easy answer. It's a lengthy discussion, but I have to go for prayer now. Our times have changed. Inshallah, between 11 and 12. So remember, we will discuss the Sawuf, Sufism, and all that. So inshallah, very interesting topic. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.